Good afternoon again, Synod. We now come to item 509, and you will need the regulations GS2049 and the explanatory memorandum GS2049X. I call upon Dr. Jonathan Spencer, Chairman of the Church of England Pensions Board, to move item 509, the Church of England Pensions Amendment Regulation 217 be approved. Dr. Spencer, you have up to 10 minutes to speak.
Good afternoon, Synod. The amended regulations come to the Synod following a consultation carried out by the Pensions Board in October 2016, which proposed changes to the way certain places on our trustee body are filled. There are 20 members of the Pensions Board. 8 of these 20 are filled by elections from members of the various pension schemes which we administer, and half of these 8 are elected by the Synod's House of Clergy as a proxy for the members of the clergy pension scheme. The other 12 are either elected or appointed in some manner. The proposal set out in the consultation concerned the 6 places currently elected by the House of Laity. At present, the House can elect anyone, whether or not members of the House. The proposal replaces these 6 places with 2 elected by the House of Laity from within its own membership, and 4 places appointed by the Archbishops after consultation with the Chair of the House of Laity and the Chair of the Appointments Committee, following a conventional open selection on merit process. The Pensions Board unanimously takes the view that the existing structure and processes for the appointment or election of trustees needs to be improved. The last decade has seen a torrent of new legislation concerning pensions, which trustees have to grasp. Investment strategies have become much more sophisticated, and the board now raises finance direct from the market to fund the charm schemes rather than relying on the church commissioners. The trustees board has had to acquire and develop a whole new set of skills and knowledge in pensions, pensions law, investments, social housing finance, housing provision and management, charities law, and governance generally. We have taken steps in recent years to improve the professionalism of trustees within the present elected framework for the House of Laity and for scheme employers by advertising to attract better qualified candidates and by giving candidates more space in election addresses. This has helped, but we still need to do more to achieve a better professional skills diversity, which these proposals would facilitate. This is part of a trend in both UK and, for that matter, relevant EU law and practice towards the requirement for trustee boards to be appropriately equipped in all such areas, and to move more towards appointments on merit rather than elections. The pensions regulator last year carried out a consultation on what was needed from the 21st century pensions trustee. In their response, published late last year, the regulator felt that one of the crucial elements was, and I quote, rigorous selection and appointment processes of the trustees on the board, focused on the competence of the candidates and the current and future needs of the board in terms of knowledge and skills. The proposed amendments are designed to give the Pensions Board their own more rigorous selection and appointment processes for trustees. During the consultation period, we received a number of responses which helped to clarify our thinking and are incorporated into the amended regulations. I'm grateful to all members who took the time to write in. At the end of the consultation, I wrote to all members setting out the way we propose to take this matter forward and addressing some of the concerns which had been raised. I want to run quickly through some of these concerns. Some members felt that the proposed reduction in those trustees elected by the House of Laity weakened links between the Synod and the Pensions Board. I disagree. The new arrangement should in fact strengthen links. With the current arrangement, the House of Laity can elect anyone who stands, subject only to them being proposed and seconded by members of the House. So at present, we have only one person who is serving as an elected trustee on the board, who is a current member of the House of Laity. I should add that one of the appointed members is also a member of the House of Laity. Under the new arrangements, at least 2 trustees must be members of the House at the time of their election, and the other 4 appointments will be made after consultation with both the Chair of the House of Laity and the Chair of the Church of England Appointments Committee. Others expressed the view that they hoped that there would still be space amongst the board's membership for the person who is not a pensions or housing expert, and who can ask the obvious or awkward questions. Such a person is a vital member of any board, and I naturally looked to the four clergy, the bishop, and the three other member-nominated trustees to fulfil this essential role, and they do. And finally, there was concern that the terms of appointment between the Pensions Board and General Synod do not match up. We do not think this is a major issue. Individuals are appointed or elected to the board for a term of 6 years, so someone who is a member of the House of Laity today could be elected for a six-year term later this year. They then might lose their seat at the Synod elections in 2020 or decide not to stand again. They would remain a member of the Pensions Board until their term expired in 2023, but if they were not a member of the House of Laity at that point, they would then not be eligible to stand for a further term. It would not be necessary for them to step down in 2020 and trigger a casual vacancy, though of course they would be free to do so if they wished. The amended regulations in paragraph 3 set out the transitional arrangements we envisage. We have members elected by the House of Laity whose terms expire in 2017, 2019 and 2021. And the regulations phase in the new arrangements such that one member of the House of Laity is elected from within the membership of the House this year, and the other in 2021, better to tie in with the pattern of elections to the Synod in 2020 and 2025. In recent years, the board has made a conscious effort to become more diverse. When I became chair in 2009, we had only one woman amongst the board's membership. We now have five. The average age of trustees has also fallen in recent years. We want to improve our diversity further. This is partly about the protected characteristics set out in the equality legislation. It is also about diversity in the range of skills and experience that we need to deliver a high-quality professional service to those who have worked for or served the Church of England. A modest move from elected to appointed members in the manner proposed will assist us to do this, as well as strengthen links with the General Synod. Please support these amended regulations so that we have trustees who are appropriately equipped and skilled for an increasingly complex world, and so enable us to improve the quality of the services we offer. I commend these regulations to the House, to the Synod, for approval, and move item 509, standing in my name. Thank you.
Item 509 is now open for debate.
Jamie Harrison, Durham, 299. When I was approached by Jonathan last July Synod to say, how would I feel about losing some powers in the House of Laity in relation to electing members of the Pension Board, my natural reaction, of course, was to be cautious. And also, I think I've always felt, when I've been in July Synods, that I should attend those debates relating to the pension requirements and needs of the clergy as a responsible lay member of the Synod. And it struck me there were three particular groups who have an interest in this change. Firstly, members of the House of Laity, who will give up effectively the ability to elect a number of folk to this trustee role. What were their responsibilities and accountability as good lay people? Sorry, Simon, but lay people still exist in the Church of England and have responsibilities and accountabilities to the whole body. And then, of course, there are the members of the Houses of Clergy and Bishops who have both an interest and a responsibility in this area. And thirdly, there are the current scheme members, all the other clergy for whom pensions do really matter. So I was not going to jump into this arrangement without careful thought, and Jonathan gave me some of the sorts of reassurances that he's given us now. Firstly, that only one member actually currently of the House of Laity is elected out of these six. It was entirely open for the House to elect both clergy or laity to these trustee roles. There was going to be a consultation, and we've heard something of that. So I was reassured by what he told me and what the consultation gave us. And also the fact that as one with the archbishops to be consulted, along with the chair of the appointments committee, there would indeed be some scrutiny over a process which needed, perhaps the word professionalisation would be appropriate. There was need for greater capability, greater capacity, greater expertise. We heard particularly in relation to such things as housing, as well as investments and charity law and the like. So I'm grateful to Jonathan for taking the initiative, along with the rest of the Pensions Board. I'm grateful to the Archbishops for their willingness to be involved in the appointment in this way. And I'm pleased we will have two live and active members of the House of Laity as trustees. So I do hope we'll support this wholeheartedly.
I see no one else standing, and so I call Dr. Spencer to reply.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with Jamie.
On that note, I now put item 509 to the vote. Those in favour, please show. Those against? That item is clearly carried. The regulations will now be laid before both Houses of Parliament pursuant to the Statutory Instruments Act 1946. This item of business is now completed. Thank you.